Amen. Can we say amen and go home? Because, I mean, what else do we need, right? The impossible. That was incredible. And we are so excited that you guys are with us today. You know, just the fact that we can say welcome. It is incredible not only to have each of you here today, but we are always honored and excited to have our Creston campus with us. And we want to give a quick shout out there because we believe that God is doing the impossible in Creston. Amen? Can we give a good shout out to our Creston people? Yeah! Man, God is good. And so if you're a guest with us this evening, we want to give a shout out to you as well because we know that God's got a plan and a purpose in your life, and we're excited about that. And so just thank you for doing that. Thank you for being a part of everything that God's doing. You know, this season has had a lot of challenges. You know, we have in school, we're out of school, we have parenting, we have daycare, we have, you know, what are we going to do with work? We have church, no church, relationship questions. I mean, there are so many things, so many areas that we could cover on this. It's just crazy what's taking place. And I want you to know that you're not fighting this battle alone, that you are standing with you in prayer. And we want to make sure that you have the opportunity to make it as easy as possible for you to be able to know that we're doing that. And I believe that God is a God of prayer. And He's a God that answers our prayer. And He's able to exceed abundantly above and beyond anything that we ask. And so if you could just text the word prayer to the number on the screen, man, we are going to be able to partner with you and believe in miracles that God's going to happen. But I believe God is preparing us for a great spiritual awakening so that we can't just lose focus on where we're going. Not just here, but I believe around the world that God is going to do some great things in our lives. Amen? I mean, we're going through a pandemic, we're going through some things, but I believe that God wants to have an awakening in our lives, that we have that opportunity. And God is going to do that because of what He's calling us to do. There has to be a process for us. We have to be willing to call out His name. We have to be willing to cry out for our pastor and pray for Pastor Ryan, to believe that God is going to do great things in him. We have to cry out for our cities. We have to cry out to our families. We have to cry out to our neighborhoods, to our marriages. It's that prayer and repentance and humility that's going to take place. Because if we don't pray, we are handcuffing God's hands. It is prayer that allows us by faith to see God do great things in our lives. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from them." I will hear them. Man, that is an exciting thing to know. That's one of the foundational things that we have is 2 Chronicles 7:14. To believe that as we pray, God will do incredible things and that He will heal our land. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says this, "For God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation." Man, that is an exciting to know. That is something that we can hold on to and be excited that no matter what we're going through, anyone who places their faith in God and calls for His mercy, that God will be there. And so I'm excited about what God is going to do as we begin to realize that we can't swerve away from the impossibilities. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you. God, I thank you for your love. God, I thank you for an opportunity to worship and give praises to you, God. And God, I pray that we would begin to realize the steps that need to be taken, the things, God, that you are going to do, the places, God, that you are going to take us. And Lord, we pray that the word tonight will come alive and that we'll begin to see all the things that we can do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I want you to be able to say, you know, don't swerve from the impossibilities. I love what it says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. It says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Again, can we say amen and let's go home? Amen? That is what we're talking about. But they wait upon the Lord. They shall renew their strength. That is a promise that we can have. That our strength, that we can be renewed. And God gives us that promise. If we wait upon the Lord, we will do what? We will renew our strength. I don't know about you, but I love the opportunity that I have to be able to renew my strength. If I was in that video, I'd probably have to renew my strength a lot. When we wait on God, according to this scripture, we are actually, okay, when we wait on God, we are actually taking a movement. We are moving closer to God. It's actually something that we're working towards. That they wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Mount, meaning that they're going to take action. They're not just sitting back and waiting for God to come, but they are taking an action. They shall run and not be weary. It says if we renew our strength, if we wait on God, that we'll run towards Him and not be weary. That means that we will run through the battle, that we'll run through the difficulty that we're facing, that we'll go through the challenges that we have, but that we will not grow weary if we wait upon the Lord. It says that they shall walk and not faint. Man, that is encouraging to know that no matter how far we get, no matter how difficult it becomes, that we will not faint because of the workload that comes forward. Because God promises us that our faith, that our lives will be renewed in that. And so as I think about waiting, there's all kinds of different ways that we can think about waiting, right? Well, for me, just a quick story was about curfew. How many of us remember curfews back in the day? And if you're parents now that have kids and you're implementing curfews, you're like, okay, yeah, I remember those things. Well, waiting for me was I couldn't be late after 11 p.m. That was my curfew. You be home inside the house, the door shut, locked. Almost in bed at 11 o'clock, right? And so I remember those moments, and I wasn't like, you know, rebellious and stayed out all hours of the night. I think I was pretty close to 11 every time, if not before. But I remember those moments where it was questionable. And my mom took, actually my dad took Proverbs 3:5, where it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, I'm going to go to bed. You know, my son's going to be fine. My mom took the other aspect of it, and she took more of the Isaiah 43 one. It says, God, renew my strength, because when my boy gets home, we're going to have a talking to, right? And it's incredible. But, you know, we wait in those moments where, you know, we push the limits sometimes. And we wait for the last minute to allow something to take place. And, you know, I always remember, you know, I'm calling home at mom, it's 5 till. I got 15 minutes. I'll be home right away. And she goes, well, you should have called 20 minutes ago, you know. And so we sometimes push the limit too far when we try to wait. We thought, oh, I'll just wait. I'll just wait for God to come. You know, I'm just holding steady. You know, God's going to come. I'm just going to wait for it. And God's saying, I don't want you to stay still. I want you to move to Him. I want you to take action. And I want you to press on. Last week, Pastor Ryan led us to see that Paul was so confident in his calling that he refused to let the criticism crush the calling out in his life in Acts 16. Man, wasn't that a great message? Isn't it great just to be able to see that? Man, just love Pastor Ryan when he brings the word. But we're going to go back just a little bit in Acts chapter 9, where Saul met Jesus head on and had a life-changing encounter. So we're going to back up just a little bit. And so I want you to write this down in your notes. Impossibilities didn't stop God from doing the extraordinary. Impossibilities didn't stop God from doing the extraordinary. And so we're going to look at Acts chapter 9, verse 3 through 9. And then we're going to kind of break it down and see really, you know, what are we talking about here? In verse 3, It says, as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go to the city, and you will be told what you must do. In verse 7, it says, the men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard a sound but did not see anyone. Can we just pause for a second and just think about that? God was speaking. As it said, they heard the sound, but they did not see anyone. And God wants to be able to speak to us. That is awesome. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days, he was blind. He did not eat or drink. What an incredible moment for Saul. I mean, it must have been a Saul must have been devastated. 1 minute, determined, focused, and raging to crush any believer that he came across. And the next, realizing that he was wrong, that Jesus was alive, he was glorified. And he goes up and he begins to have an encounter with Jesus that began to shine a light into his darkened heart so that he could see the purpose of who he would become. God today wants to shine a light into your heart to help you see who and what you can become. Amen? Give God the glory today. Man, that's on fire, man. God is excited. I'm excited for God. Maybe today that's the battle, though. Maybe today that's the battle that you're facing. That battle is real. You're going down a path of sin. Your identity has been tied to the strongholds, the addictions, the unfaithful commitments, the failures, the pride, the hate, the things that seem impossible. And we can't see it. In John 10:10, in the first part, it says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. The enemy only comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But can I tell you that there's a solution that's coming? The solution that we're facing, because in the last half of the verse, it says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. That is exactly what God has purposed for our lives. To be abundant. To have an abundant joy. And we can't swerve away from the impossibilities that are out there that God has in store for us. We can't swerve away from and say, oh, I'm not going to go through that. Because... Because God will pull purpose out of you where the enemy has tried to stop you. In your notes it says, God will pull purpose out of you where the enemy has tried to stop you. The enemy tried to stop Paul. The enemy tried to stop him and say, hey, you know what? This is who you are. You're raging. You're hatred. You hate all the Christians. You don't want to be involved with them. And today, maybe you have the battles of frustration and strongholds are holding you back and the enemy is tying you down. And God's saying, God will pull that purpose out of you. God knows you. God knows you deeply and personally. He has made you. And you are important and you are valuable to Him. And it's not by accident. And that we've all been made of the image of God. And so God, as you face that difficulty, as you face that darkness, as you see the impossibility and you don't know if you can make it, God is pulling that out of you. God is pulling that love out of you. God is pulling that purpose out of you so that you can accomplish what He has had, what He has in store for you right down there in that line. Because we don't go backwards, but we go forward. And God has a plan for you right up there. And you may not understand it yet. You may not know it yet. But God's got a plan and you got to continue to go. God will pull purpose out of you when the enemy is trying to stop you. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Take this down. Your waiting season does not have to be a wasted season. Your waiting season does not have to be a wasted season. Whatever you're going through, man, you've been watching Central Online for 4.5 months. Your waiting season doesn't have to be wasted. God is pulling that purpose out of you so that 4.5 months can have meaning to you. You have been with your kids 24/7. You are pumped up about it, but you're waiting for school to start. Your season doesn't have to be wasted. There are so many things that we go through in our lives that we just think, well, I'm just going to go through it and blah, blah. God wants you to learn that as you go through that difficulty, as you go through that struggle, as you go through that battle, that He has something better on the other end. This is free for you. It's not in your notes. Change is going to happen. I hate those tough words for me. Change is going to happen, but progress is optional. Change is going to happen, but progress is optional. James 1:4 says this: don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well developed. Don't get out of anything prematurely. What's that saying? There are moments that we have to go through something, not because God wants you to be punished, not because God wants you to be hurt, not because it is what it is. God wants you to go through that because as you go through that, that process will help you become more mature and well-developed. God has a plan. God wants you to be able to see victory on the other side. I remember I was doing early in my ministry, I was building houses, I was a youth pastor, I was a new father, all these different timelines were surrounding me. And it was difficult to try to make it all work effectively. And sometimes one thing struggled and something else struggled, and you're constantly trying to be the right dad and the right worker and the right pastor and doing all the right things. And during that moment in time, it was hard. And sometimes you sacrificed But I remember how important it was to be able to set the example, how important it was to be able to make it through there, because there are things now on the other side of that process that if I didn't go through that, I wouldn't be where I was today. I'd be paying for the $35 an hour plumber to do something in my house. I'd be paying for the carpenter to do something in my house, things that I can do now that I couldn't have done if I didn't go through that process. And so the question is change leading you to progress? Is change leading you to progress? Acts chapter 9, verses 10 and 12, it says, in Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Man, there again, Ananias was talking, right? What an experience that is, that when you can talk to the Lord and you get a response. To be able to be in that communication with God. God wants to speak to you. God wants to have that relationship with you. How important that is. And then in verse 11, it talks about precision. Do you know that that straight street is still apart, the north and south, I believe it is, in Damascus, it's still there? I mean, that was precision in giving Ananias that description. And so we see that God didn't send Ananias to Paul until God had made contact with him. God had a plan, but it wasn't a plan that Ananias could be involved in until after God had already done what needed to be done. And so sometimes we want to get out there and we want to do all the work and we want to take the steps, and God's saying, whoa, wait a minute. I want you to make that action. I want you to move forward, but sometimes we have to wait. And I want you to write this down, because God's timing is always perfect, but it isn't always easy. Last week, Pastor Ryan talked about living for Jesus is always easy. And here we're talking about God's timing is always perfect, but it isn't always easy. When Ananias heard these words, arise and go, he must have been stunned and confused. Can you imagine? It was like his little voice in his head is like, say what? You want me to do what? You want me to go do a healing miracle for this guy that wants to kill everybody? That he's the church's number one enemy? It probably maybe took his breath away a little bit. He probably stood back a little bit and kind of questioned exactly what was going on. Ananias could have just written it off. Right? I mean, it's like, God, seriously? You know, it could have been like Moses, where Moses is like, you sure? You don't want me to go do that talking. Why don't you send Aaron or somebody, you know, that can do that? And Ananias is like, I don't know. He could have just written it off, because the impossible always says no. But faith always says yes. Impossible always says no, and faith always says yes. You won't be able to explain it when God shows up. Impossible faith is one of those things that you can't explain it. When God moves in your midst, and when God does miracles in your lives, and when God does something that you can't explain it, it's impossible faith that you got to believe. You ever had that moment where your faith had to be stretched? Right? You ever had that moment where you're taking that step of faith and be stretched? If you're watching online, give us thumbs up. Yeah, that's me. Because I believe there are moments that our faith is stretched to see God do the impossible. If you're a dad, right? I mean, that's if you're a parent, if you're a mom or a dad, if you're a parent, man, we're sometimes stretched all the time, right? Letting our kids go do something. Be involved in something. And I believe that here at Central Church, we have things that are in place for you to be able to stretch your faith. We have life groups starting in September. We're kicking off our life groups. You need to be a part of a life group. And I understand it. It's hard. It's time consuming. But I need it. I need to be able to be a part. I need to be able to lead a group and to be challenged in that and to be a part of that. So you can be a part of a life group. You can lead a life group and begin to mentor other people in our church, that their faith can begin to see and can begin to grow. Maybe you can be on the dream teams, all the different dream teams. You're not just a volunteer. You're someone that is incredibly purposely given to do great things for God, to be part of the dream team. And maybe for you, that's going to stretch you and be a part of that and to lead areas in that. There are ministries in our church that you can be a part of. There's ministries going on in Creston that you can be a part of. There's ministries that God hasn't even given us opportunities yet that you can be a part of. Stretch our faith. Acts chapter 9, verses 13 says, Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem, and he has come here with the authority and the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said, Ananias, go. Kind of like the parent that tells the kid, get going, clean your room, right? Go. Do what you're told. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Ananias knew that if he goes here, he's dead meat. He's like, he's speechless. He's like, God, if you haven't really done what you said that you're going to do, I'm dead. But he saw the vision. He knew God was speaking to him. But he felt the need to make sure that God knew the potential dangers. So I want to make sure, right? I want to make sure if I'm going to stretch my faith that we know what the dangers are if I'm going to do this. But we can't swerve from the impossible. We can't swerve from the dangers that we may face. Because God will never give you a life. God will never give you a life where he's not necessary. God has to be necessary in your life. Our relationship with God needs to be number one. He wants us to trust in him and depend on him as the awesome Father that he is. Trusting in God. I believe that trusting in God will reignite our faith. And maybe you have an area right now where it's difficult and trusting in him and you're like, I don't know if I should come to church. I don't know if I should come back. Maybe taking that step into impossibility will reignite your faith. And God will prepare you to do something that you never even planned on doing. I had a friend that, we were pretty close. And he was on the worship team. I worked with him. He was involved in church and multiple different things. And we hung out together and had lunch together and had all these different types of things. And there came a moment in his life where he made a decision to leave his wife, leave God, leave our relationship, and he walked away. And he took what God was doing in his life and said, you know what, I have a better plan. And he walked away from God. And it was probably one of the hardest things that I ever had to do was watch him do that. Someone that was that close, someone that I had that kind of a relationship with, and just watch him walk away from God. True fulfillment comes by putting Jesus first. There's things in this world that we have that we can do, and man, it's fulfilling, and it's fun, and it has pleasure, and it's good, because you know why? Because God created the world. And what God made was good. And that is awesome. But God's given us parameters. That if the things that we're doing are taking us away from what God says needs to be number one, then we have to set them aside. We have to understand where are our steps taking us. In verse 17 it says, Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, thank you for not killing me. Appreciate that. Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up, and he was baptized. And taking some food, he regained his strength. Can I tell you something? When we put Jesus and the Word of God at the center, we position ourselves to see a miracle. When we put Jesus at the center, we have the opportunity to be positioned to see a miracle. God wants to see miracles happen in your life, in your family, in your workplace, but we have to understand where is Jesus, where does he need to be? God gives you. Everybody say, God gives. God gives you what he asks you to enact. God's given you. When God's given you something to enact, he's given it to you. When God calls you, he's going to give you what you need. God's calling you, he's going to give you. Okay? And the reason why he does that is because our faith is a designed response that God is asking of you. So God's asking you to do something. He's prepared for that. And by faith, that design response, God gives us. And so it's so important that we move by faith in what God's doing in our life. And so there are three things to make impossibilities possible. Three things to make impossibilities possible. Number one is keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Don't stop. Don't stop. Keep stepping into the realm of impossibilities. Keep moving forward in the things that you're doing in your walk with God, being pushed by him. We aren't designed. I mean, I think it's so important to understand that if we came up here and we set out a timeline and said, hey, I'm 25 years old, I'm never going to go back to 24, right? It's only going forward. This is the only way that I can go. We got to learn to take positive steps and move forward with God. I remember back in the day. How many of us? I remember back in the day where you ran uphill twice and downhill once, right? I mean, I remember back in the day when gas was 85 cents. I remember back in the day when, you know, you had remote controls. I mean, you know, all the things I remember back in the day, right? But God's got a plan for us now. I remember back in the day when, last time I shared, when I talked about whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. And we talked about sharing the gospel and how I led someone to the Lord that was right next to the church. And I mean, how awesome was that, right? That was cool. That was 35 years ago. We got to stop living in the past of what God did in our lives yesterday and start preparing for what God wants to live in our lives tomorrow. Amen? God's wanting things to do. God's preparing an awakening. He's poising us to see great things in our life. God is preparing us, but it's up to us to what God is going to do. If we're just going to sit back and say, God, it's in your hands, I'll wait, whatever, God's not going to move. God wants his people to press in, to be in prayer, to keep moving. The second one is keep believing. Jesus looked at them in Matthew 19, verse 26, and said, with man this is impossible, but with God, all. Everybody say all. All. That means everything. All things are possible. All things are possible. We got to keep believing what God has promised. He's promised that we can take back the land. He's promised that he's always going to be there and he's not going to forsake you. And we got to keep believing that he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We got to keep believing that our sins are forgiven. We got to keep believing that there's a tomorrow, that we have a place in eternity, and that there's a reason why God wants us to do great things and why God wants people to know who he is. Man, we got to keep believing. Romans 4:16 says, some of us haven't received it because we haven't yet believed the promise. We don't believe because we haven't believed what we just got done saying. God's got a promise for you. Therefore, the promise comes by faith. We have to have faith to believe. We got to have faith to believe the impossible. For those of you in Creston, what's the impossible that you believe in the church? What are you believing that's going to be impossible for God? But you're believing and begin to realize, no, all things are possible with God. We've got to keep believing. The third thing is that we have to exalt the King. In Psalms 34:3, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Exalt. In order to be able to see the impossibilities of what God has for us, we've got to be able to begin to realize of how we need to worship. Let us exalt his name to lift it higher than our problems. Isn't that what worship is all about? That we worship the Heavenly Father more than we worship the problems that we're facing, right? I mean, there are problems that we face. There are things that we go through, no doubt. You may have come in today with a heavy heart. You may be watching online today with a heavy heart, tied to the strongholds that's kept you down. But the Bible says that we need to be able to exalt his name and be encouraged to lift our problems higher. Let's learn how to exalt his name higher than the mess that we're in. Because if we pray, remember, prayer is faith. Prayer is the conduit of our faith to get to God. If we pray through, God's going to come through. Man, I love Wednesday night. Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, we have an awesome opportunity to be able to pray on Facebook Live, and we just get to intercede and believe and partner together and believe that. But if we pray through, God's going to come through. And Hebrews 10:23 says this, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Man, God is faithful. We can't swerve away from the impossibilities that God has before us. In man's eyes, it may seem difficult. What you're going through may seem impossible. But God's taking you to a place that you can believe and that you can exalt, so that you can begin to see the blessings from God. And I'm excited about that. I'm excited about your story. I'm excited about what God's doing in our children's ministry. I'm excited about what God's doing in our youth ministry. I'm excited about what God's going to be doing in Creston. I'm excited about our online ministry. I'm excited about our worship team. Man, I am excited about what God is doing, because as we prepare, as we believe, doors begin to open. Doors of opportunity begin to open because he's there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I love you. I love you for who you are, God. But we need you, God, more than ever right now. God, there is someone here today that is watching online, that's in this place, that wants to do the impossible, but they just can't swerve around it, God. They got to be able to meet it head on. I pray for everyone that maybe they're sitting on a couch or driving down the road or listening to on social media. God, I pray that they'll remember that you have given them hope so they can walk through this season and come out on the other side glorifying your name. And God, you are an awesome God. Who could be before us? God, I want to put you first. First before my wants. First before my wishes. First before my pain. God, today, I want to proclaim that you are first. That today, that I want to see you more and more. that I want you to be able to move God and help me to keep moving forward. God, we thank you. We praise you, Jesus. And so right now, God, I pray that everyone would have the opportunity to come to know who you are in a personal, relational way. I pray that, God, that you would give us the answer. That if there is somebody that is at the end of the rope, that you'd help them to know that it's not over. That if we would put God first, if we would acknowledge, God, that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so if, as you're listening, for everyone that's listening today, would you just repeat after me if you're ready to make a decision to follow Jesus? Just by saying this prayer. Jesus, I need you desperately. So I give my life to you. And I trust you. Forgive me of my sin, of all my wrongdoing. By the way that I use my life, I submit myself. I give you my life. I am asking you, Jesus, to be my Lord and Savior. You are my God. You are my everything. In Jesus' name, amen.